Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for September 18th, 2009.
The Science Update Podcast is produced by AAAS, advancing science, serving society.
This week, gecko tails with a life of their own, tracking asteroids with your computer, prehistoric fabrics, and getting stem cells from a renewable source, fat. But first, Suzanne will tell us why we may have bugs to thank for some of our brilliant fall foliage.
In Europe, fall leaves are mostly yellow, but American fall colors include reds and oranges. Now, researchers in Israel and Finland have proposed an explanation. Haifa University botanist Simcha Lev-Yedun explains that American trees have been battling insects uninterrupted for millions of years. During harsh glacial periods, the trees and their insect pests simply migrated southward. But in Europe, the Alps blocked any escape from these periodic deep freezes.
And when the trees were less flexible to those changes, the insects that live on the trees and exploit the nutrient in their leaves, especially in autumn, disappeared, died with them.
Without such interruptions, American trees developed more elaborate defenses against insects, including red pigments that advertise those defenses. Lev-Yedun says the red pigments are costly to produce, but they do ward off pests.
Thanks, Suzanne. The use of fibers from the flax plant to make clothing and rope was a huge technological leap forward for early humans. Now a team of researchers has discovered ancient flax fibers dating as far back as 36,000 years in a cave in the Republic of Georgia. Archaeologist Ofer Bar-Yosef of Harvard University says his paleobotanist colleague Eliso Kravatse was looking at ancient pollen grains through a microscope to identify the kind of plants ancient cave-dwelling humans might have been consuming.
As an accident, and this came as a surprise, on the same glass slides that the pollen grains are mounted, she also found what is known as the non-pollen polymorphs, which means forms or shapes that are not pollen but something else. And to her great surprise, one of the most common finds were fibers of flax.
He says there's evidence that the fibers were intentionally dyed different colors, possibly for use as textiles.
I feel pretty sure that the flax fiber has something to do with human activity.
Next, Justin Warner tells us how we can track nearby asteroids and comets without stepping outside.
For years, NASA has been tracking asteroids and comets flying near Earth to make sure nothing gets too close. Now you can keep up with their sightings with the new website Asteroid Watch. Project Manager Don Yeomans of NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory says it's all laid out in plain language.
But still, it's accurate and up to date, and so we have news notes, we have a widget that you can download that gives the next five close approaches of asteroids to the Earth. There's a Twitter feed you can take advantage of.
This may sound anxiety-provoking, but Yeomans hopes the updates will actually reduce public fears. He notes that although a collision with a large object would be catastrophic, it's also very improbable. And subscribers will learn that we can spot a potential threat well in advance.
In the last 10 years, there's been a dramatic increase in discoveries and tracking and attention paid to these objects. So another way of allaying fears is to let the public know that NASA is on top of this program and they're discovering these objects at a rather impressive rate, and we can track them 100 years into the future.
Fortunately, none of the objects they're tracking now are on a collision course with our planet. But Yeoman says that if we ever find one that is, NASA has several strategies in place for dealing with it. To sign up for Asteroid Watch updates via email, Twitter, or RSS feed, visit www.jpl.nasa.gov/asteroidwatch.
Thanks, Justin. And now for something completely different. Suzanne tells us about the secret life of the gecko's tail.
When a small lizard called the gecko is threatened, it sheds its tail and deploys it as a decoy. The severed tail keeps moving for several minutes to distract predators. Now, scientists have found that the lost tail doesn't just twitch, it leaps, flips, and even changes direction when it bumps into things. University of Calgary zoologist Anthony Russell says that studying the disembodied tail's wiring may shed light on spinal cord injuries in humans.
there is often a situation where there is spontaneous muscular activity which is taking place without any involvement of the higher brain centers or even possibly the spinal cord, and we understand very little about that.
Further research could someday make it possible to tap into the circuitry of those spasms and restore some movement to paralyzed limbs.
Thanks, Suzanne. Scientists at McMaster University in Canada have found that fruit flies have surprisingly sophisticated social lives. For example, female fruit flies looking to start a family observe where older, experienced females have already laid their eggs. Later, they return to lay their own eggs nearby. Believe it or not, fruit flies and humans share some of the same genes involved in learning. Studying them can tell us about the development of social interaction in humans. In other insect news, University of Texas at Austin scientists and their colleagues have discovered a kind of ant that has done away with sex completely. Many social insects have a queen that mates with a male only occasionally, but this species apparently has no males at all. It's thought that such species would become weak from accumulating mutations, just as inbred populations do. Researchers hope to study the species to see if this is happening. Finally today, Suzanne tells us about new research into getting valuable stem cells from a plentiful source.
Scientists may have found a positive use for body fat left over from cosmetic procedures. Stanford University cardiologist Joseph Wu and his colleagues took discarded fat from plastic surgery and isolated programmable multipurpose stem cells from it. He says that currently, the main source of non-embryonic stem cells is skin.
Usually, we would take the skin biopsy from a patient, and we would have to grow these skin biopsy cells for about 3 to 4 weeks to get enough cells to start the reprogramming process.
But the fat cells got to this point in just 2 days. What's more, the subsequent reprogramming took half as long, with a bigger payoff. Stanford's doctors are already stockpiling fat for future lab studies, but Wu notes that in clinical settings, even slim patients would have enough spare fat to generate stem cells for themselves.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, that's it for this week. Next week, we'll let you know if it's a bad idea to get major surgery during a full moon. We'll have a report on a new deep-sea rover. We'll report on whether coercive interrogation methods provide believable information, and we'll tell you why reading surreal fiction could make you smarter. Until then, keep current on the exciting world of science and discovery by listening to the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website, scienceupdate.com, or at iTunes. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.